Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. You know, one of the things that we like most about being here with you every day is hearing directly from you, our listeners. So if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, well, you're hearing Basic Gospel live on this first day of October, and this is your opportunity to call and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, we talk a lot to a lot of people around the country day in and day out. We've traveled all around this country, and we've talked to Christians in kind of every stage of their relationship with the Lord. And one of the things that you and I have discovered is that there's a lot of people out there who are restless, who feel stymied in their relationship with Christ, that they don't see any growth, they don't see any change, real transformation taking place, and they get frustrated with that. They sometimes just decide, hey, this Christianity really isn't working for me, and they just go about their lives living like a practical atheist, as if God doesn't really matter, if God is irrelevant to their day-to-day lives. And usually when you start peeling back the layers of that onion, you start to find something in common with every single person who feels that way. And it's this, that they're not sure that their sins have been forgiven. They're still in that pit of fear and guilt and shame. And the reason they're still there is because they're still not sure about this forgiveness issue. And Peter talked about that in his second letter, and he talks about the fact that through Christ we've been given everything that we need for life and godliness, that we have these precious and great promises through which we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in this world. And then he goes on to say, for this very reason, let's make every effort to supplement our faith with all these various things. So we see this growth, these qualities that should be being added to us as we're growing in the grace of God and growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted, is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So when you're not seeing spiritual growth, when you're not seeing these qualities being added to you, like, you know, hope and gentleness and love and kindness and all of these various things, the fruit of the Spirit, so to speak, it's because you're stuck in the mud around the cross. You haven't really discovered and haven't really settled the issue that it's over, that Jesus Christ took away your sins once and for all, that Jesus Christ's blood made you holy, made you perfect, made you righteous, so that you could experience this newness of life in Christ Jesus. So if you're out there and you feel like you're stuck in the mud as far as your Christian life is concerned, you're stymied as far as your growth and maturity in the Lord is concerned, think about this verse. Maybe it's because you are nearsighted, that you are so nearsighted that you're blind to the fact that your sins have been forgiven once and for all. Now, here it's interesting. It says from his former sins. You know, as far as we're concerned, of course we're going to sin tomorrow. We're going to sin the next day. Those are future sins. We don't know what those are, but when they're committed, once they're committed, they become past sins. And so it says, you've been cleansed. You've already been cleansed. You've already been forgiven. The blood of Jesus has already been shed for that very sin. So rejoice. Let this become clear to you that you are a forgiven person. And as soon as you do, as soon as you rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you're going to see some explosive growth in your Christian maturity. You are going to grow in the grace of God. It's as simple as that.
The grace of God is a great place to be growing. It's the only place to be growing. And Bob, thank you for those thoughts. As we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway, Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. As I said at the top of the hour, well, we're 5 minutes after it right now, Central Time, we have an open line for you. If you'd like to call and be a part of this edition, if you have something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question perhaps, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, we are greatly encouraged and appreciative of all of you who gave to help us meet the $50,000 need we spoke of as we approached the end of September. And as Bob said yesterday, we had gotten very close to that need. We don't know. We don't have a final count just yet. Probably will by Thursday. We're just really encouraged that so many of you stepped up, and we certainly appreciate that. Thank you for your partnership. And a reminder also that each of you who gave in the month of September will be receiving that wonderful DVD by Bob and Richard. It's called Your Living Hope. So we hope that you'll accept our thanks in that way for your contribution and standing with us here at Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, how are you? God bless you. My question is regarding versions of the Bible. My pastor encourages us only to read the King James Version, but of course I find a better understanding with the English Standard Version, so I wanted to know what is the best version of the Bible as far as God's Word is concerned. I do know that some versions, from what I understand, have changed some of the gospel message, but I just wanted to get your opinion on which version feel is best. Thank you. God bless.
Well, that's a great question, and a question many people are asking. Now, there are many really good Bible translations on the market today.
Mm-hmm.
The King James Version is a good translation. Many people just love reading the King James Version, and that is fantastic. That was the first Bible I ever owned, was a King James Version Bible. Well, actually, it was the Revised Standard Edition that the Methodist Church gave me when I was confirmed in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I actually first started reading was a King James Version Bible.
Right.
And then I started reading the New International Version. That was certainly more readable and more easily understood as far as the language was concerned. And then I started reading the New Living Translation. And then I've lately started reading the English Standard Version. And I really love the English Standard Version. But here's the deal. We have a lot of great translations available to us. You don't have to stick to just one. Find one that you like to read, have other translations available to you, and you can look at a verse, and maybe it doesn't make sense as it's worded in that particular translation. So you pull out another one, you read that verse in that translation, and then maybe you pick out another translation. And then through all those different renderings of that verse, you get the fullness of the thought that's being communicated by the writers of the Bible,
right,
as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, the debate, I think, with the translations gets down to this. Like the King James Version, it was translated from what they call the Textus Receptus, and it was a version that was translated some from a Latin version that Jerome did in the 4th century AD, and it was built upon pieces and manuscripts that were found dated anywhere from 1100 AD to 1200 AD.
Yeah.
So you have a lot numbered. So there's the majority of the manuscripts that we have in our hands today are dated around that period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as archaeology started doing its thing, and these archaeologists started uncovering manuscripts here in the last 100 or 200 years, they have found manuscripts dated much closer to the actual writing,
mm-hmm,
of these books,
right,
that we have in our Bible today. So several scholars, different scholars, have combined those together, and they've put forth a manuscript that many of the newer, more modern translations have been translated off of, mm-hmm. like the NIV, like the English Standard Version. So which one is better? Well, I think when you compare the manuscripts, you don't see a whole lot of difference. You see some phrases that have been added in the later manuscripts that weren't there in the earlier manuscripts.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the King James Version people really get up in arms, because since it's absent in these newer things, they're saying, hey, you're changing the Word of God. Well, no, it wasn't there to begin with.
Right.
Somebody, some scribe, added that much later.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to realize is we have some very good translations available to us, a wealth of translations, the Tyndales and those folks that gave their lives to bring the Word of God to the common man,
mm-hmm.
would look to our day and rejoice
yeah.
that all of this is available to us today.
Yeah.
So pick one that you like to read, and if you're reading the English Standard Version, read it and enjoy it. I don't think... you know, when you hear somebody say, you need to read this one only, I think somebody's putting more into a translation than they should.
Yeah.
The King James Version was not the inspired Word of God. What was inspired is the actual words that Paul penned
mm-hmm.
in the Greek language, or the prophets of old penned in the Hebrew language,
right.
or some using the Aramaic language. That was what was inspired, and that was copied, and from those copies we make translations into the various languages.
Mm-hmm.
So pick one that you enjoy, and then rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal the meaning.
That's good stuff, Bob. Thank you. Adjust your mic cord just a little bit. It's making a little noise, and we're getting complaints, believe it or not, from across the glass. It is Basic Gospel, and we're glad to hear from you. We have this call coming in on the screen right now, Bob.
Well, let's go talk with Gary in Pontiac, Michigan. Hi, Gary. Welcome.
Yes. There was a very important person, Peter. He was in the Lord's inner circle. And Jesus said that he would give him the keys of the kingdom. And he told about the church in his time, and also modern church, I believe he was prophesying about the events that the church would go through. He said there'd be false teachers in the beginning of the chapter. And then he says, there are those that have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And then he tells about those people are wells without water. But the thing that's very interesting, he goes down to verse 20, where if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of wretchedness than after knowing it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. How do you explain that?
Well, I think the last verse 22, explains it. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. There hasn't been a transformation in these people. They've heard the way of righteousness and all of that. They've seen the way of escape, and yet they've remained who they were from the get-go. There wasn't a real transformation. So I think these people were lost, and it would have been better for them if they were going to remain lost to never have known the way of escape, the way of salvation. I mean, in this case, that old phrase, ignorance would have been bliss for them, but because they were not ignorant of the gospel message, the way of salvation, the fact that they rejected that means that their position is much worse.
Well, what I'm saying, I have relatives, they lived for the Lord, they were baptized, they gave their life to the Lord, they testified, they had great experience in the Lord, and they've left the Lord. Is it possible that they never were born again? So it sounds like Peter's saying there's people got born again, and now they've become worse because they've left it.
Well, I don't think Peter is saying these were born again folks. Again, I think the context is false prophets, and he talks about them at the very get-go. He kind of tells us the characteristic of these false prophets, what they're trying to do, and how they are using. I mean, these are teachers within the church, so to speak. They are trying to infiltrate and bring their way of thinking. And they're doing that so they can gain personally in all sorts of ways. So that's who he's talking about. And so they know the way of salvation. They're probably teaching a twisted version of that. Mm-hmm. But at the end, they remain false prophets. They remain dogs and pigs. Returning to their own vomit and wallowing in the mire. So if somebody professes with their lips to be in Christ but hasn't believed in their heart God raised him from the dead and hasn't had that inner transformation, they're still lost. And we see many people like that walking away from the faith. Why? Because it was never a genuine faith to begin with. It was never a life-changing experience. And what I mean by that, they never crossed over from death to life through faith in Jesus Christ, and God's Spirit never came to live inside of them. If somebody has the Spirit of God living inside of them, their minds may doubt, and they may wonder at some point that, is this really real? Well, the Holy Spirit is going to make sure that they know that they've experienced the real thing. And the Holy Spirit isn't going to walk away from them. The Holy Spirit is always going to be inside of them with the promise that he will never leave them nor forsake them. So the Holy Spirit is going to enable them to persevere until the very end. I mean, their salvation is secure because that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing that. So if somebody is walking away from the faith and they're turning to something else, it means they were never truly a part of the faith to begin with.
Well, what I'm saying is the scripture talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
And it goes on to say, because God is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the Holy Spirit is alive, living in us, and he is working this salvation in us. And as we walk in dependence upon him, we're going to work that salvation out in our day-to-day lives. So God is the source. He's the source of this new life. He is this new life that we have in Christ. So if somebody's trying to work out and there's nothing inside to work out, then they're going to get frustrated and walk away. Why? Because they were never truly born again to begin with.
So what I'm saying, there's a lot of people in our churches in modern times, and they're not living the life that the Word of God proclaims.
So the reason they may not be living the life is because they may not have the life. That's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, when we're saved, we receive Jesus. Jesus comes to live inside of us. So we read in the scripture, like in 1 John 4, it says God abides in us. We read in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We read in Galatians 4:5 that God has put his Spirit into our hearts, or has sent his Spirit into our hearts, by which we cry, Abba, Father. So salvation means the receiving of Christ's life in us. He has become our very life. So there's a lot of people who aren't living the life because they don't have the life in them to begin with. So that's why, Gary, you keep proclaiming the good news. That's why you keep talking about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, so that people can fully understand what this gospel is and can genuinely come to a point and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior, as their very life, and experience that transformation.
Well, what I'm saying is because our churches are filled with people, and you would say they were never born again, so they can't bear fruit unto the Lord, And when the Lord comes back, they're not going to go when the Lord comes back.
If they're not saved, they're dead spiritually. All of us come into this world dead spiritually, and we're going to remain that way until we receive Jesus, until we cross over from death to life. So if somebody rejects the gospel message all throughout their life and then they die, they're just going to remain dead spiritually forever. That's their eternal judgment. And they came into this world that way. They leave the world that way because they rejected the offer of life.
Yeah.
Well, Gary, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Good conversation, my friend.
Yeah. Want to remind our listeners, Bob, that we have many resources to aid you toward spiritual growth and development to help you hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. And you'll find all the resources under that resources menu tab at basicgospel.net. So just go to basicgospel.net. There in the menus, you'll see the word resources, and under that, you'll find the store. So all the information, all the resources are there, including Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, of which we hope you'll take advantage. Had this YouTube listener question, Bob. Says, my coworker says he doesn't believe the Holy Spirit is God. He believes it's actually the angel Gabriel. I've never heard this before. What scripture can I refer him to that straightens this out?
Well, there's quite a few, but I think we see some things in, you know, for example, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Where it talks about Peter saying, you've lied to God, you've mm-hmm. lied to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So he's equating the two in that particular story. So that's one particular case. We know that the Spirit of God has personality. So there's some folks that would simply say that the Spirit is a force. It's not a person, mm-hmm. But I think when you read the Word of God, you see that's not the case at all. And you just see passage after passage that it talks about the Holy Spirit being co-equal. First Peter chapter 1 talks about the threefold work of the Godhead as far as salvation is concerned. So what we see, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, and then it goes on to say, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ for sprinkling with his blood. So mm-hmm. we see in that passage the threefold work of the Godhead through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We also see this in, I think, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, where it talks about the three in one. So there's numerous passages that talk about the Holy Spirit being God, and you just point people to those passages and leave the results in God's hands.
Absolutely. Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and of course we have a number that you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, to pose your question, as a couple of callers did on this particular edition, and we hope you'll take advantage of doing that as well. And we want to say thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow at the same time, and we hope you'll be here too. In the meantime, remember that we feed live video and a video stream to both Facebook and YouTube, and we hope you'll take advantage of that. Quite a number of people do that every day, and we would love for you to join that number. So you can click one of the links at the very top of our homepage at basicgospel.net and take advantage of the opportunity to come inside and see what Bob Christopher looks like while he's proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be a blessing to you, so we hope you'll take advantage of that. A reminder, too, that right now is a very good time to browse the resources in our online store. Just click resources at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we want to say once again, we appreciate so much our listeners who have stepped up during the month of September to help us meet that goal that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. And we hope to have a report for you by this Thursday. Not a guarantee, but hopefully we'll have everything counted by then. We'll be able to share some good news with you in that particular regard. So we hope to do that, as I said, on Thursday. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.